Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two, one.
Good morning. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show coming to you on this beautiful Monday morning. If you live in St. Louis, we had a gorgeous weekend of weather, didn't we?
Yes.
You like that?
Yeah.
Is everybody awake in here?
No.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So we've got our producer Gary here.
Hello.
He's always here. And we've got my co-host, who's one of my besties. Say hi, Donna.
Hello, hello.
Now, Donna, I have known for how long now?
Oh, gosh. What? Close to 10 years?
Close to 10 years. And is it true that you are the only person I think I know that got fired for being too nice in radio?
Oh, it's definitely true.
You had a very small radio career.
Yes.
For Steve in D.C.
Yep.
And then they fired you just because you were not mean enough.
Yeah, I was super nice.
Well,
super sweet.
I'm going to let you come on here even though you're nice.
Thank you.
And you can be nice. I'm not going to make you be anything you're not.
Okay.
And what are you doing over here, Carlos?
Just chilling.
So we have Carlos here who has been a family friend of the Manos for how long?
Oh, probably about 5 years now.
Oh, longer than that.
Oh, shoot. I don't remember. It's been so long. Heck, I can't even remember.
Well, Carlos can't
I'm just a friend.
He can't even remember our kids' names. He calls the girls Lulu and Little Lulu.
Yeah.
Which is fine because I even get him confused. But so Carlos has been a family friend for like, I'd say what, probably 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And so Carlos emailed me and was like, hey, I want to be on your radio show. I'm like, sweet, come on over.
Right.
And now he's here.
And now I'm here. Yeah.
So you're just going to hang out for a little bit because then you got to go to work, right?
Yeah.
So how was everybody's weekend? Did anybody get out and enjoy the weather?
Oh, gosh. It was beautiful outside.
I know. It's going to be like that for like 2 weeks and then boom, winter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We had like a mini family reunion with my mom's side today. I didn't get to stay very long. But as soon as I walked in, my sweet little like nearly 70-year-old Aunt Judy said, I love your show, Kelly. And she gave me a big hug. And all I could think about was like, how many times did I say vagina last week?
I can tell you.
Did you count?
Yes.
Pervert. So I want to give a shout out to my Nowd family because my mom is from a really big family. And so is Jimmy. So like my mom is one of 8 and Jimmy is one of 9. My kids are so confused by their own family. They can't even figure out that. No, Donna probably knows this.
Right.
With big family comes also big drama.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's been a while since the Nowds have gotten together and we all got together over the weekend. And it was a lot of fun. So I love you guys. And I hope you're all listening. All of my crazy aunts. And I think we're going to get together next year, too. So.
Cool,
that's awesome. Everybody's a cousin, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
when your kids look at them, it's just cousin.
Yeah, well, because I have like 27 first cousins on my side.
Okay.
But then I call my cousins my kid's aunt, even though it's not their aunt. So like my cousin Christine is their Aunt Christine, but it's really like their second cousin. But I can't even figure it out. So I don't expect them to figure it out. So
just if they're old enough, they're an aunt. If they're young enough, they're a cousin.
Yes. And so two other things happened this weekend that we have to talk about.
Okay.
Number one, I got something very vulgar in the mail. And number two, that I ordered myself. It's my own fault. And number two, I thought I was going to jail. And so...
I'm glad that didn't happen.
Oh, okay. So first, let's talk about number one. Carlos, you're a single man, right?
Yes.
So when you are looking for a lady, in a physical sense, what are you looking for?
Sure, I just want somebody to grow old with and
yeah.
be married someday, but...
Oh, look at your sweet answer. I wanted you to say a big butt.
Oh, well, that too.
Come on, Carlos.
Not like it's something extremely big, just like, you know... Just a little bit, you know?
Okay, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. So a couple shows ago, I was talking about how I wanted to get some underwear with a little bit of padding, okay? Because, listen, the girls wear push-up bras all the time.
Yep.
I don't have that problem. So what is wrong with taking what I got back there, you know, the little butt I have, and just kind of pushing it up a little bit, right? Okay? Mm. So that's what I decided to do. And, you know... Would it surprise anybody if I told you I was an impulsive person?
Not at all.
No? Are you shocked?
Not at all.
Sorry, no. So I finally got the clearance from my husband to order the butt pad underwear.
Woohoo!
I'm really, really bad. A lot of people drunk buy things on Amazon. I half asleep buy things on Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, because I've got Amazon Prime on my phone and I'm always on my phone as I'm going to bed. And I was like going to bed the other night and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot I couldn't order those butt pads now. And so.
And with Prime, you're just like, click, and
click,
then it's
click,
there.
And then yes, it's very like if I need paper towels, I'll like, use Amazon Prime. And so I decided that I was going to order these butt pads, and I instantly went to like I sorted it by 5-star because when I'm getting butt pads, I'm not going to skimp, okay?
Right.
And so I was envisioning getting like these underwear with like these like little pads in them, and I'm gonna show you guys what I got. I'm gonna let you guys describe these on the air. Hang on. Actually, I'm gonna toss one to Lowe's.
All right. Oh my gosh, what is that, a pancake?
Here you go, here you go.
Wow.
What is that?
Can you guys describe?
She handed it to the men.
Well, me.
I want you guys to describe what's in your hand right now.
Well, to me, personally, this looks like one of those fake boobies.
The flattest fake boob I've ever seen. It's the size of my face, but it's flat.
Isn't that disgusting?
It's so weird.
It's like, it is definitely weird.
It's a Frisbee.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It looks like a silicone Frisbee.
It looks like somebody took, you know, like Ice-T's wife, Coco? Like somebody shaved off like,
oh,
her
wow.
butt? Now, Carlos, as you hold this butt pad, and Gary and Don, I want you to know that these butt pads, they're not even pads. These are like silicone gels. They have been in every Mano family member's underwear.
Oh, great.
Oh wow.
Thank you.
I got to clean my hands now.
Oh, gosh.
Libby Lou has had them on. Lucy's had them on. I've had them on. They look so stupid. I have to send them. Oh, here, send me that.
Well, is that why they feel used?
Yeah.
Okay.
They clap. Hang on. Hang on. I'm going to get it. Ready?
It's more like bang, bang, bang.
So, yes. Libby Lou. So when I came home, they were on the like the front porch, and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's my underwear!" So I'm so excited, and I open them, and I'm like, "These are the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my." And sweet Libby Lou's like, "Mom, why did you get butt pancakes?" And so I'm gonna post pictures of these on the blog, but for the record, I will not be wearing these.
They are so
Is there any way you can take a picture of me holding it?
Yeah. Is that what you want your introduction to be?
Yes,
Are you gonna?
I think it'll be awesome.
You're not gonna put them in your butt, though, right?
No.
I am gonna return these. I know Amazon Prime probably frowns upon that.
Yeah.
No, they're good about it.
I mean, the fact that every member in my family has had them in their butt.
Oh well, that's
they'll probably be good and warm. What do you think of that?
Oh, you know what? I promised my dance girls in dance class that I was going to wear these to dance class on Wednesday.
The thing is, why is it so thin? I mean, you'd have to order 4 of them.
I know.
Because you don't even have a butt here.
I almost can't stop feeling them.
How do you,
so
like, keep
soft.
Those on?
Put them in your underwear. You slide them in.
So you can get, like, 10 for each side and your butt be way out here.
There you go.
I'm so disappointed. I was so excited to have a big butt. And now I have to start over again. And now I've got these stupid silicone butt pads. And then, so I was at the ice rink, you know, because that's where I live, and where the rink in East Alton has a, like a ledge that you lean on. And I was leaning over trying to watch Rocky's game, and I was in the lobby. And Libby Lou comes up behind me and grabs me by the leg and starts bonking her head against one of my butt cheeks. She's like, "Mom, are you wearing your butt pads?" No, honey, that's all mama. So these are my butt pads. We got Donna here. We got Carlos here. We got Gary here. And next, I'm going to tell you guys how I almost got arrested. Let me show you what I got from the police this weekend.
I cannot wait.
I've seen.
Here's all my tickets I got this weekend.
You're kidding me.
No.
That's still going.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's still
long.
Yeah.
How long is that piece of paper?
It is almost as tall as I am.
That's not a joke.
So whenever we come back, I am going to tell you guys why I almost got arrested. All right?
Okay. All right.
All right. It's the
wait.
Kelly Mano Radio Show. We will be right back.
Kelly Mano Show.
she finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
So hard to interrupt such a good song. Little Belle Biv DeVoe for you this morning. Can you hear what I'm drinking here? Can you hear that? That's me starting off every morning with my Spark Energy drink. So my Advocare lady is Kim Miller. And 2 years ago, Kim found herself overweight and drinking 88 ounces of soda a day. That's a lot of soda. Somebody shared Advocare Spark with her, and now 2 years later, she is soda-free. She started losing weight, so she tried their 24-day challenge. Today, she is 25 pounds down and down 6 pant sizes. If you already love Spark, then I don't have to sell you on it. But what Kim does that's different than other Advocare reps is that she will make a sample pack for you.
Oh, my gosh. That's so great.
So if you're not, so if you don't want to have the same flavor over and over and over again, she mixes it up for you, and I love that. She also delivers, like, to your front porch in North County and St. Charles. And if you've never tried Spark, contact her and she will send you a sample for free. Spark has over 21 vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that soda does not. If you are wanting to kick the soda habit, Kim is who you want to call. Her email address is fitchamps@gmail.com. That is fitchamps@gmail.com. Call Kim and make sure you tell her that Kelly Mano sent you. All right, so we're going to talk about why I almost got arrested.
Now, what is this? Is this like, you know, you got pulled over by the cops for driving too fast?
I did. I got pulled over, not driving too fast, because I drive like a grandma. Carlos, are you a good driver?
Yes, I am.
Do you get tickets?
No.
Donna?
No. Remember, I'm too nice.
You're too nice. So I drive like a grandma. I don't speed. I stop at all stop signs. I don't do really much wrong in the way of driving. However, I guess it all started a couple nights ago at, I went to a benefit for our friend Dan Duffy. It was like a karaoke benefit.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and so me and Lucy are leaving the parking garage, and apparently when you are trying to get out of a parking garage and you're parked backwards, if you accidentally put your car in reverse instead of drive... You smash into...
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what happens.
You smash into things?
So I smashed into a concrete pole and a concrete barrier behind me.
Oh.
Both at the same time. Completely ripped my side mirror off my awesome minivan. Okay? And it's dangling by the cord.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, flapping in the wind. Okay?
Well, you know you should use some duct tape.
So I got home. I got some duct tape because I thought, if this wire breaks... Then I'm going to owe a lot of money because it's still attached to the wire. So I taped it up with duct tape. Yeah. And a couple days go by, and I'm thinking, I need to get this fixed. I need to get this fixed. And I mentioned a couple shows ago that my stickers were expired on my license plate. So I was playing the Dodge the Police game.
Right, right.
So every time a police officer got behind me, I would like make a random right turn and be like, yeah, I'll get my sticker taken care of later, you know. And, so there I am driving down, you know, Houdershell Road where everyone in the world can see me on my way to get not only my kids, but my friend's kids from school.
And your mirror's just like hanging by duct tape.
It is flapping in the wind.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where the cop was behind me before I ever even saw her. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a chick. And that's why I got all the tickets. Okay. let's just say that first. So I'm just driving, minding my own business, and all of a sudden I see the lights in the rearview mirror.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yep. And so I pull over, and I always heard that when the second cop car comes, you're getting arrested.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Have you seriously had a second cop car?
I had a second cop car come, but I did. It was not because I was getting arrested. It had to do with something else.
Oh.
So the police officer comes up to my window. And she's a very nice Florissant police officer. And she said, I need your license and registration. So here's something that I've not shared on the show yet that I didn't plan on sharing quite this early, but whatever. It goes with the story. But I have my concealed carry permit. And so I carry a firearm with me a lot of the time. And so kind of the rule is when you get pulled over with a firearm, you are, I was taught at least, to give the cop your license and your concealed carry permit. You're not obligated to, but it's respect for the officer. So I give her my license. I give her my conceal and carry permit. And she says, do you have a firearm in the car, or, you know, do you have a weapon in the car? And I say, yes, I've got a firearm. It's locked in my glove box. And then she asked for my insurance card, which is in the glove box.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
But this was okay because I asked her permission. I said, is it okay if I get my... So I pop open the glove box and like 14 expired insurance cards fall out. Okay. And I'm like shuffling through them. And I'm like, listen, honey, it's the same policy. I just got to find it. So I literally handed her a wad of like expired insurance cards and said, here you go, you know, and gave her that, my license, my conceal and carry. She goes back to the back. And then here comes the second cop car.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to jail and I have no idea why. And instead, the second cop came up and just stood by my passenger side window. And I rolled down the window and I said, I'm like, do you need me? And he's like, and he just kind of like shook his head no at me. He had on sunglasses. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, you're babysitting me, aren't you? Because I have a G-U-N. And I had no kids in the car. I had no reason to spell it, but I still did anyway.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so I guess it's protocol for a second cop to come up and kind of, which is really smart.
Yes.
But I'm just imagining that like dispatch call, like I need backup on Houdershill Road. We've got a minivan with a pink fuzzy steering wheel cover and a sparkly bow in the back. And she says she has a loaded Sig Sauer in the glove box. So we're need backup on that.
Is your gun pink? Does your gun have pink sparkles on it?
My gun is pink, yes. Okay. So I carry a Sig Sauer. It's got a pink pearl handle, and then it's got some little like damask designs up and down the thing. And I was really nice to the officer, and the officer was really nice to me. But, man, she was a hater because she gave me 2 tickets and a warning.
Oh, no!
Oh, wow. So
that is so unfair.
She wrote me a ticket for... not having a current insurance card, even though I gave her 14 that were the same policy.
Yes.
And the only reason that I couldn't dig out the other one was because I didn't want to go fiddling around in a glove box that had a gun in it. Now, my gun was in a safe and it was locked, so I want to make that clear.
Right, but for 14 occurrences, you've had insurance.
Yes, exactly. And then she wrote me a ticket for my sticker being expired. I guess I technically deserved that one.
Right.
And then she gave me a warning for my dangling rear-view mirror. And she said that if I didn't secure it better, that I would get another ticket. So I went out and bought a second roll of duct tape. And I just duct taped it more. What else am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
Next time, try the Gorilla Tape.
Oh, I thought they only make glue. Is there Gorilla Tape now, too?
Yes.
All I know is that I have to get it fixed today. So that's the crap I have to deal with today. Because for me to switch lanes, I am hanging my head out the window like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
I'm like, Rocky, can I get over? And he's like, hang on, Mom.
Tell me you at least have like pink and black zebra stripe duct tape.
Oh, I have hot pink sparkly
there
duct tape. Yeah.
There you go.
And as a matter of fact, I pulled in my kid's school parking lot and I saw this other mom. I'm like, can you help me with this mirror? And we tried to put a butter knife under the mirror to hold it up and then tape it, and it didn't work. Completely fell apart. And so, yeah, if you have your conceal and carry license and you get pulled over, expect a second cop car to babysit you.
And know where your insurance card is.
Gosh, and of all the time. So now, in order to get my sticker done, I have to pass an inspection. I can't pass and expect an inspection with a dangling mirror.
That is the worst. That is the inspection I can't stand.
So guess what I'm doing like all day this week?
Yep, car stuff.
Oh, it sucks. Standing in line, getting that crap done, and then... So this is only the second time that I've been pulled over since I've had my conceal and carry, and the first one was actually a little bit funnier. Carlos, you don't have your conceal and carry, do you?
No, I never shot a gun.
You've never shot a gun?
A BB gun.
Now,
we played Cowboys and Indians.
You know, I did not grow up with guns. I'm definitely not a gun nut by any stretch of the imagination. I only have one. Now, Donna, your husband.
My husband carries a gun. I don't. I'm still warming up to the idea. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't love the idea for him. But for me to actually have a gun, that's something that I got to get warmed up to.
It took me a long time. I mean, from the time that I shot my first gun to the time that I was carrying one on a regular basis was about 3 years, so it took a long time. But
I could imagine
it. That's kind of like a whole different debate. I will tell you that the first time I got pulled over was, you know, probably about like 6 or 8 months ago, and I was trying to get off of an exit ramp, and there was construction there, and so I did the idiot thing and backed down the exit ramp, which I guess is frowned upon. But it wasn't during like high traffic; it was like during like construction, and so hang on. Excuse me.
Nice.
Water burp.
I was going to say, was that a spark burp?
Yes.
Okay. So I backed down the exit ramp, and there was a cop right there, and he instantly pulled me over. And it was my first time getting pulled over with my firearm on me, and I was very, very nervous. But he comes up to the car, and he's like, what are you doing backing down an exit ramp? I'm like, I'm sorry, I was lost, I know where I was going. He's like, okay, just let me see your license. And so I handed him my license, and I handed him my conceal and carry, like I'm supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. And he tricked me, because he didn't say, do you have a firearm in the car? He said, do you have any weapons in the car? And there I sit with two of my three kids in my sparkly pink minivan, and my answer to him is this. Yes, sir. I have bear mace on my keychain, a taser in my purse, and a Sig Sauer in my bra.
Oh, wow.
And the poor look on his face, he's like, what do you have all that for? And I don't remember my answer to him. I said, do you need me to step out of the vehicle? And he said, no, just turn on your dome light and keep your hands where I can see them.
Yeah, you probably scared the crap out of him. This spunky little girl in this van comes up and she's got all these weapons on her.
Well, and I don't normally carry all of those. Like, the mace on my keychain has been there forever.
Right, yeah.
The stun gun thing, like, I got from a friend that I carried in my purse for, like, 5 days, and I don't even know where that is now. So it's not like I normally carry all of that stuff. It just happened to be that way, and it just came out kind of funny, and I felt pretty bad about it. So that's what I'm doing all day. Okay. Are you okay over there, Carlos?
I'm getting kind of sleepy a little bit.
Don't fall at
you have work to go to.
You were the one who wanted to come and be on the show. Yeah.
I know it's early.
And he's fallen asleep. Come but on. You know what? We do have an update we need to get to that I think producer Gary is going to help me with.
Yeah.
Because last week we threw some shade on the St. Louis Zoo because we were really mad about the polar bear. Because I said, why the heck did St. Louis need a polar bear? Our summers are miserable. Go ahead and take Carlos's mic over there. Our summers are absolutely miserable. The polar bear is in an open air area. Have you guys seen the polar bear?
No, I have not. I haven't been to the zoo all summer.
Yeah,
but I've heard it's open air, so there's no controlled temperature.
So what that means is if it's 102 degrees outside, okay, the polar bear is in 102 degree weather.
And that's not their normal habitat?
Not even close.
Right.
But I don't know enough to say whether it was a good or bad thing. Now, I had a question on how they got the polar bear here. And my friend Larry Pott said that FedEx actually donated. Like, they put him in a big cage and they flew him and drove him and got him here. And now, Gary, you have an update. You did some investigation on the zoo. So can you tell me why we should not be mad at the zoo?
Well, what I found out is when they actually had the whole penguin area closed down.
Okay, and that's the cold area.
Yeah, the cold area. Right. They had it closed down so they could put the whole polar bear exhibit together.
Right.
The polar bear actually can go into the climate-controlled area.
Oh,
so it's just when he's outside.
Right, when he's outside in the sun. And here's the thing I found out from the person at the zoo. The polar bear actually likes it out there.
How do they know? Did they ask the polar bear?
Apparently, the polar bear spends more time out there than in the climate-controlled area.
Right, right. But how scientifically do they know? Is that something that polar bears are, you know, apt to want to do in their environment, is go toward the sun? I mean, I'm just curious.
I mean, I didn't really dive into it that far, but, I mean, he basically said that the polar bear spends more time outside in that...
How do we know his cool living conditions are, like, does he got, like, a couch back there? Maybe it's more comfortable out front.
Right, maybe it's just a cold, dead cell. He's like, get me the heck out of
here. Right, right. Plus, he gets to see all of us idiots staring at him when he comes outside.
At least it's entertainment.
No, he's got a whole big area like the penguins do in there.
Would think he'd be back there all the time.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I don't know, because it's been pretty hot these last couple weeks of summer. I wouldn't think he'd want to be out in the open air.
What's his name?
They didn't tell me.
They didn't tell you?
I
it's
know.
Usually on a sign outside.
I know. There
Carlos,
was no sign.
Can I put you on that? Will you find out the polar bear's name?
Sure.
Can you do that at least?
Yeah, I can do that for
you. All right. Can you Google it for me?
Yeah.
You got to get off to work, don't you?
GTS.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the best part of the song. Fine, sugar pie, I like to do the wild thing. All right. So Carlos has got to go to work. Donna is going to stay here with me. We have a guest coming in next. And we'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Sometimes
The Kelly Mano Show.
The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Bum, 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 bum. Judgment comes for you. What you gonna do when it ain't nowhere to hide? Judgment comes for you. Cause it's gonna go.
It's his Uncle Charlie, but a group of guys got him, and I'm gonna miss everybody. I don't know what I ate for breakfast. I could sing that whole song. Oh, the Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Rachel Witt. We met her earlier this summer. She is a veteran in the real estate business with 13 years under her belt and a team of 6 people who work for her. Rachel is all about the service, not the sale. The Manos have loved hanging out with Rachel. I have the attention span of a squirrel. So if Rachel can handle me, she can handle you. If you are selling a home, she doesn't just do photos. She does these amazing walkthrough videos you have to see. Her website is homesalesinstcharles.com. That's homesalesinstcharles.com. Check out her amazing videos, but don't buy the house on Hidden Lake because that's the one that we want. Donna, can you give that phone number there for Rachel Witt?
Sure, it's 636-720-3836.
Yep, 636-720-3836. Call Rachel Witt today. Tell her that you heard about her on the Kelly Mano Radio Show. All right, we've got a guest in the house. Everybody, round of applause for Charity Craig from the Wounded Dove.
Hello. Yay!
Hi. So, Charity, you and I met years ago.
Forever.
How did that? Because I vaguely remember you second shooting with me a couple of times.
You were the first photographer that I ever like met in person. Okay. So I had just, I was still green as
yeah.
a photographer.
Yeah.
And I knew you just kind of from like, from your time on radio
yeah.
and stuff. So I knew. And so when I was looking up photographers, I found you. And
yeah.
I'm like, what? No way. And so I just kind of reached out to you. And
right.
I remember second shooting with you for, that was like tons of years
right.
ago.
Right. Yeah. And like our husbands somehow know each other.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
through church or through music?
No, it was through a radio, a music store here in town.
Okay.
They like, Matt was working there part time.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy would go in and like they met through that way somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. But and you have now, when I was hanging out with you, I think you only had one baby. How many do you have now?
4.
So they like multiplied like
4.
Gremlins.
Yeah. They just kept coming.
Like you pour water
coming,
on
yeah.
one and then another one pops up.
Coming, yep.
You feed one after midnight and another one pops up. And
pretty
so
much.
So we lost touch over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And Charity is a lot of things. You're a mom.
Yes.
You're a wife.
Yes.
You're a Christian.
Yes.
And you are a survivor of infidelity in your marriage.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I survived.
You did. You're here.
Yes.
And Matt survived, which is even more impressive.
Right, right. I know, right.
So, you know, I was like scrolling through Facebook one day, and I think this had to be like a year or two ago, and I saw this post that you wrote that like rocked me to my core.
Wow.
Not only because of your bravery, and because you have balls the size of church bells to write about this stuff and to write about it so openly. You know, first thing I did, I'm like, honey, I'm like calling Jimmy. I'm like, you got to see what Charity Craig just posted on Facebook. Oh, my God. Matt had an affair and she's telling the whole world about it. And then pretty soon, like, I was hooked. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to read some of this. Now, this is going to what year was this that this happened?
Oh, goodness. 2012.
So we're like 3 years beyond this.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about where it started and kind of where you are today.
Okay.
And first of all, thank you for coming in because
thank you.
Hiding,
I really appreciate it.
Hiding behind a keyboard is one thing,
mm-hmm.
but talking about something so personal is a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause sometimes when I write about something personal on my blog and then people see me out and they're like, oh my God, I love your blog. I'm like, oh my God,
oh,
I can't believe
it.
Yeah. I know. What? I didn't know people read that crap. So I'm going to read, kind of what I read on your blog.
Okay.
And, yeah, your words are amazing and
thank
so
you.
Courageous. And then I'm gonna have a lot of questions for you.
I'm ready.
Okay. So Charity from the Wounded Dove, the day I found out about my husband's affair, my body was violently out of control. My mind was tumbling from shock. Holding the 7 pages of our most recent phone bill confirmed my worst fear. You need to get control of yourself, Charity. I called Matt. No answer. I texted Matt. No answer. For 2 months, I knew something was wrong, but all of my private investigating was coming up empty. There weren't blocks of unaccounted time, even though he was giving guitar lessons to a girl of my suspicions. He came home every night. We were still having sex. In fact, 2 weeks before, he insisted on planning a 2-day getaway that we enjoyed. But something still seemed wrong. When my veins began to warm and my panic subsided, I decided to wait on the porch. I had highlighted the number on all of the pages for a greater effect. I had to be dreaming. I called Matt 4 or 5 times with increasing frequency because I had to know. By the time the headlights hit the driveway, I managed to activate the Ice Princess. Don't we all have the Ice Princess us? Right?
Yes.
Put the guard up.
Somewhere along my life journey, I discovered this to be the best way to protect myself in vulnerable moments. The second he walked up to the porch, he knew. I knew. Stunned, he knew there was nothing else he could do except confess. He was having an affair. My head began to spin. I'm not sure if it was from the wine or the shock or both. I was numb and tumbling. I didn't know what to do or say. I mean, what do you say to the person who you've given your whole heart to after you've discovered that he has stabbed it? I'm sure it's every woman's worst fear, but somehow I thought we were the exception. We loved Jesus. Matt was a worship pastor at one of the biggest churches in our city, for crying out loud, and I was the nursery director. We were in love. And here we stood, lost, confused, and scared. After our brief exchange, I didn't know what else to do, so I suggested one of us leave, obviously Matt. Standing at the top of the stairs, I watched the love of my life close the door behind him, and then I went to bed. I don't remember many details after that or the order of events. It's hard to remember when you get punched in the face and then shoved into a swirling pool. I do remember my first response was to push it all down and put a Jesus blanket on it, a blanket of forgiveness. I'm not one to just sit around and listen to preaching. Most preachers annoy me. But listening to a preacher that day seemed like the only thing that could ground me. I heard Matt Chandler once before and I knew I liked him, so I decided to look him up and see what he had to say. I downloaded his latest sermon. Sobs. Uncontrollable sobs laying in the back of my closet. I now knew the pain of betrayal. The purpose of marriage is to demonstrate that same commitment here on earth. Matt Chandler, the preacher you were listening to, because we don't want to get confused because your husband is Matt too.
Yeah.
We are human and neither person in a marriage is perfect like Christ. Red eyes and a puffy face, I emerged from my closet with 2 resolutions branded on my heart. Number 1, I was ferociously committed to my covenant of marriage. And number 2, my focus was now discovering my responsibility in the destruction of my marriage. So you understand my shock when Matt sat me down a few nights later and told me his decision was to leave for good. He would come back Friday to get his stuff. It took me 2 days, but I finally ran out of air. I vaguely remember my eldest daughter herding her siblings upstairs while their mother ran out of air. My mind welcomed the swirling darkness. Charity, why don't you have a book yet?
I'm working on it.
Are you really working on it? Have you worked with a publisher?
No, I have not worked with a publisher, but I am working on writing.
So are those words still hard to hear 3 years later?
It was a fresh, it's been a while since I've read them.
Sure.
So it was a fresh memory to kind of go back there and hear it. Yeah. Someone else speaking them out. Yeah.
Just hearing that. I read your blog a couple days ago, and then just hearing it again, it's just like brick upon brick of just heaviness each time you have to deal with what you're dealing with.
Yeah, well, definitely in the middle of it.
Your words are beautiful. Now, I know that this is going to be making a gigantic jump, but we're going to fill in the gaps. So Let me ask you this. How are you and Matt today?
I could never have imagined. It's like a million times better.
Really?
Like, the person that I'm married to now is 180% better and different than the person that I'd been married prior.
You
to
wish
that.
It could have happened another way.
Oh, for sure.
But
for sure. Like, I do not, wish or
right
that I had gone through that hell. But going through that hell and coming out on the other side, I never could dream that it was going to be as amazing as it is now.
And you are such an inspiration to women, because I know how many people that listen to this show, and surprisingly, people really listen. There's quite a few of them. And I know the statistics on women who are cheated on. And there's probably someone today listening to this show that found out her husband had an affair this week. And so that's why I wanted to have you on the show. Now, one question I have is, how did Matt feel when he found out that you were broadcasting this to the world on your blog? Did you tell him?
Well, Well, it was a progression for us. So I started off when I first had this, you know, I went through this huge healing process for myself, and I realized I did not want to keep it in. I knew, because when I was going through this darkness, I was searching for someone to help me through this.
Right.
And I couldn't find it. People aren't real. People don't typically broadcast it. So I didn't have a lot of people that just came to my support. And so after going through this and finding a lot of personal freedom, I thought, I want to be that voice for other women. Because I knew I wasn't the only one that had gone through that. And so, you know, at first I didn't really know what that was going to look like. So I actually started on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't tell anything other than something had happened to me and that I had gotten through it, and just kind of was just real vague as to the details. But after about a year of that, I knew I had to tell more. Like, it had to come out. So Matt and I had a long discussion about it, and he was completely against it.
I was going to say, did he try to stop you? Because I would imagine he would.
Yeah, he was definitely against it. You know, he was going through his own journey of self-forgiveness and healing himself. But we finally came to this place. When we were talking, I said, you know, if you are the one to tell the story, there's no way anybody could ever gossip about you. There's no way anyone could come around. Like, you can walk into any room with your head held high because there's no whispering going on.
There's nothing to hide.
True. Right.
You just lay it all out there.
You lay it out there, and then you can walk into any environment, and you don't ever have to worry about who's saying what about you, because you're the one that told the story. And so I think once he saw that I was going to be honoring of him, you know, this was more of my story I was sharing and not just me completely.
Not just let's beat him up.
Right. This was more of my story. I think once he saw that, he was accepting of it for sure.
Amazing. So I would imagine that time heals. And so I would imagine that when this first happened, it was pure anger and darkness once every 5 minutes. And then maybe the next week it was like anger and darkness once an hour. And then it was like once a day. And then it was like once. So you're 3 years out. So be honest. How often do you have like just a really bad, like, I'm mad at you again for this?
Not very often.
Not very often.
No.
So you're pretty far removed from this then.
Yeah, I am. And, you know, I'll have, you know, there's always a trigger. There's always still going to be some
That's
trigger.
What I wanted to ask was, is there triggers?
There's are triggers, you know, if there's ever, you know, hey, I'm going to be home at 7, you know, it's 7:30 and he's still not home. There's still going to be that trigger.
Correct.
But then I have to remember my thoughts and keep them under control. And so part of that is I don't let myself go down rabbit holes anymore.
Okay.
I keep myself in from that fear.
Right.
And then I just remember part of my healing that I had is that my identity, who I am, is no longer rooted in Matt. So I think prior to Matt's affair, my happiness as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, as a person, was rooted in Matt. It was rooted in his love for me, and my identity was wrapped up in him.
Right.
You know, and so going through that, I have now found my identity outside of him.
And do you feel like your relationship was almost reborn?
Oh, for sure.
For sure?
Yes, for sure. It's it's on a different playing field now.
It's almost like two different chapters of your life, even though it was the same marriage.
Right.
It's almost like a second marriage.
Yes.
But to the same guy.
Completely. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and Charity, I know you may have even skipped ahead of this by mentioning that you found where your identity truly lies.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes giving into that fear, that's when you find yourself back into that dark place.
Right.
And I know that throughout our lives, we always give into fear at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just inevitable. So, you know, when you get to that place, what is it that gives you the courage and the strength to forgive him again? Because I guess that's what you have to do to crawl back out of that rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's always I feel like, you know, a lot of times we feel like forgiveness is this big thing that is just the surmountable mountain.
Yeah,
it just seems like I don't think I can
you
ever
can't ever get up to
get
it
to it
right.
And you know, there was a time when it was very dark that
sure.
I didn't know that that was going to be possible, even though I made that choice. But to truly deep down in the deepest place of my heart, find that forgiveness. It comes, I feel like, first through healing.
Yeah.
And then it's just this natural thing that follows, that the forgiveness comes, as well as just from him. You know, like, he yeah. also has decided that to be trustworthy and mm-hmm. to bridge that gap.
Oh, what a and lucky so. Son of a gun he is to have married you. You are a freaking gem. You know that? Seriously, you are a gem. Have you forgiven her?
That's
because I'm from Granite City and we fight just for fun. So, right. Like, you want to give me an address, I'll go beat the shit out of her.
Oh, I've had my moments. I have yeah. had my moments. So back then there was a meme that was going around
yeah.
and it was like, you know, you have a best friend when you show up the door with a body and they don't ask any questions. They just grab up a shovel. Right. I pass that meme around.
Oh,
and then everybody
God.
Got it. Like, they all knew.
yeah. No, I've got this really, like, sick, like, vindictive, twisted side in me. And, yeah, even whenever Jimmy and I were first started dating, there was this this girl that came over and, like, tried to, like, hit on him or something and then left. And he had, like, 3 Granite City girls with him. And he was, like, trying to block the door at Ozzy's to, like, keep us from getting to her. So yeah, no, if you need like kneecaps broken, like just call me up sometime. Call me up sometime. Now, ladies in the room, so do you guys all have like open policies with your husbands? Like, as far as Jimmy and I go, we don't have passwords on our phone. We know each other's email passwords. We know each other's Facebook passwords. Do you have that in your marriage? And Donna, do you have that in your marriage? Is that normal?
Yeah. We've actually always had that even prior. We were really very open about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't very smart about it. I mean, yeah. really? A phone bill? Like, yeah. come on. I think maybe it was probably one of those things where he was ready to get caught. He was ready to...
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Donna, do you and Chris have just open...
Yeah, totally open.
Open-ended.
You know, just able to be able to access each other's information or even...
I kind of don't understand marriages that don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's just me, but...
Yeah,
I want to be able to run your phone anytime I want, honey. Oh, and so I heard this awesome thing on the radio the other day. So if you think that your husband or wife is having an affair and if they have a number on your phone, like a passcode, you can pick up their phone and press the Siri button and say, Siri, read me my text messages, and it'll read you the messages without a passcode.
What?
There you go.
That
insider
is,
info.
Thank you, Siri.
That
we love
is,
you.
That is your best, like, that's the best advice I've given anybody. And you can try it. Like, you just grab the phone and be like, Siri, read me my messages. And that stupid computer will just start reading them. And so if you guys ever want to use it, I just want to let you know. So there, you know, Charity's a Christian. Mm-hmm. Donna's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian. Gary's a Jew. I know that your faith played a huge part of this in your healing. And so right now, Christians are really being drug under the bus by that fart knocker Duggar kid. What's his name? Josh Duggar. So if you guys don't know, Josh Duggar is the oldest kid of 19 kids and counting. You know, the Christian family that's had the show on TLC forever. I loved their show. And
right.
I loved their family. And when
they
this
were
came,
so interesting to watch.
When this came out, it really broke my heart. Because I don't think you can always blame parents for what kids do.
No.
But this kid is sick. First of all, he molested his sisters. Okay. And if that wasn't pervy enough, when the Ashley Madison story broke... you know, he had all these porn star affairs on his sweet wife, Anna. Anna, who was raised the same way that he was, in a strict Christian home. She wasn't given the opportunity to have any kind of education or stand on her own 2 feet. And so there are a lot of Christian speakers, websites out there that are saying, no, she has to stay with him because, the Bible is very clear about divorce. How do you guys feel about Anna and her situation? If that was your daughter mm-hmm. that went through that and her husband not only molested people but had all these affairs and like it was literally like she was married to a different person,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about that?
I have a lot of mixed emotions on mm-hmm. it. I think I have a lot of coming from a lot of different angles.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think for me the first would just be coming from a wife. I feel like that's her story and that's her decision.
That poor girl. But is it her decision? I don't think she's given a decision. I think she's been raised in a way that she has no decision because I think that her family would shame her if she divorced him.
And they probably would, but and so she is. She probably is in this place of a very controlled, you know, fundamentalist type Christian, where
yes,
you are in some ways shamed and
right,
you know, not given that opportunity. But in the end, you know, like, I think if her decision to stay is her decision, you know, whether it's through this fundamental Christian or not, you know, I feel like, I mean, that's her decision.
Donna?
Well, some things that I feel like I've noticed that Charity has mentioned over and over that kind of play into this whole, you know, topic is personal freedom and self-love. And when you come in a place talking about it in terms of Christianity, sometimes people don't think that that's an okay thing to say, personal freedom and self-love. They think that you're only supposed to be thinking of others and that for whatever reason, you're not supposed to love yourself.
That, like, you're on a back shelf. Because I'm going to teach my daughters to breathe freaking fire. And it's a shame. I'm not saying Anna Duggar should divorce Josh, but she should have that option. Because where does it end? What if he comes? So he's in rehab now, okay? Because that's the thing with especially celebrities. You go to rehab, put a Jesus Band-Aid on it, and come home, and everything's better. So what's next? He starts beating her, and she still can't leave him? You know, and so, you know, it frustrates me that that the Christians are kind of getting drug under the bus on that because, you know, you, Charity, worked so hard to save your marriage.
Right.
But you, do you feel like you had a choice that you could have left if you wanted to, or was that never really an option?
Oh, yeah. I could have left.
See, and that's good. And then there's poor little Anna Duggar, stuck with 85 million kids and a pervy for a husband. I've got one more thing to ask you, and then we're going to come back and talk about fun stuff.
Okay.
What do you say to women who probably, like you, have their head in the sand and think, it would never happen to my husband? Not our family, not my husband. What do you have to say to them?
That have actually...
That know that they don't know that their husband has had an affair. But women who don't even check up on it or maybe have a suspicion but think, oh, not my husband. He wouldn't do that. He's because I'm sure you thought that about Matt. I mean, he was a worship pastor, right?
Right.
So to the girls out there with their head in the sand, do you tell them? Run his phone when he's sleeping. Check up on him.
I think so this is my whole thing.
Yeah.
I feel like, to be completely honest, I feel like women that said, I had no clue whatsoever, I feel like they're not being honest.
Or they're lying.
Because I feel like in the deepest place of our hearts, we know.
Yes.
If you have any inkling of suspicion, I say check up. Check it. Don't be
afraid. Even if you're in the happiest marriage ever.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of what you're going to find. Just be honest with yourself and what you're feeling and trust what you feel, for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. So, Charity, plug your website because you are way past, you know, the affair. Mm-hmm. And you and Matt are in a happy place now.
Yes.
And I promise that we will not beat him up today on the radio. So I hope that he's proud of me. Yeah. I still want that chick's address, though. I will slash some tires so fast. So plug your website because you don't just write about this. You're past this and you write about a lot of other amazing things. So
yeah, it's thewoundeddove.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was this fun?
It was.
It wasn't that hard, right?
No.
Are you going to stick around and do fun stuff with us? Cause
sure. Why not?
All right. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Come on. Ha, sicker than your average. Pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Just don't think, just think. Pink Gators, my Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, air night. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who, do something to us. Talk,
go, it is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. What would you do if your spouse didn't come home tonight? After that last segment, you'd run his phone. no, we need to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Jada Marcel with Shelter Life Insurance. I remember the first time I ever really felt like an adult was when I bought life insurance. Me and Jimmy had little baby Rocky, and he was like 6 months old, and somebody mentioned life insurance to us, and I'm like, what? Me? And then I realized, oh, yeah, you kind of need that. And that, like, we took out these little baby, like, $20,000 policies way back then. And now if Jimmy kicks the bucket, me and the kids are, like, moving to Tahiti. Just kidding. Life insurance is way more affordable than you think. A healthy 35-year-old man can get $100,000 term policy for just $16 a month. You can call Jada anytime for a no-obligation quote. She does morning, evening, and weekend appointments. If you think about it, we have insurance on our cell phones.
Right.
So you need, and some people don't have life insurance. It is so important. Jada loves life insurance. She loves to sell it. It is her passion. She will walk you through everything. She is licensed in Missouri and Illinois. You can find her with Shelter Insurance at 1739 Pontoon Road in Granite City, Illinois. Or you can give her a call, 618-797-3482. Donna, what's that number?
618-797-3482.
Give Jada a call with Shelter Life Insurance. All right, ladies, I have a new study, and it wants to know if being modest around your children screws them up for life or not. Oh, here it is. Now, we're all in different situations in here, because Charity and I have mixed boys and girls, right?
Right.
But Donna has all boys.
All boys.
And so that might kind of, you know, play into that, you know, answer.
It might.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'll start by saying that I was raised with very modest parents.
I was too.
Yeah, I never saw my parents naked. I think I saw my mom's boobs twice, and it like scarred me for life.
Yeah, I accidentally walked into my dad when he was in his underwear, and it, yeah, I was just like.
Right. My mom's, seeing my mom's boobs is the reason I got a breast reduction at 22, because I'm like a walking clone of her, and I'm like, I am not carrying around those when I'm in my 40s. And so, yes, my mom was very modest around me. I, however, like, just missed the modesty boat. I don't know when, I don't know how, but from as long as I could remember, nudity is always funny. From the time I was like 15 and I would like moon people out the window, like I just never took it seriously. And it has taken me into adulthood now. And I'm starting to worry that I'm scarring my children. So let's start with Donna.
Okay.
Do your boys see you naked? How often do they see you naked, and how naked are you?
Well, see, I have three boys, right, and they range from the ages from 1 to 7. Mm-hmm. And so I've just started to realize being naked around them is probably not a good idea.
Right,
like,
right.
This just hit me.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like I'm having to, like, step back just a bit and realize I might be scarring them.
Right. So maybe,
habits.
Like, especially with your oldest one, Roman, are you starting to not be naked around him?
Yes. For sure. Well, and you know, the saddest, I don't know, should I say saddest?
Oh, yeah.
But the funniest part about it is he's the one that kind of brings it to my attention. Like, where he'll come into the room and, like, avert his eyes. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? He's like, I'm waiting for you to get dressed.
Poor Rocky. Here's Rocky's only warning. Here come my boobs! Like,
and then the rest of you comes around the corner.
Okay, here comes my husband. Hank, you can talk in a minute. Just wait a minute. Charity has not answered yet. Charity, how often are you naked around your children, and how naked are you?
I have recently started waffling on my feeling about this, because I was raised in a very, you know, modest, don't show anything.
Well, somebody let the pig in.
He wants to tell his story.
I know. He wants to talk about modesty.
Talk about your modesty.
Go ahead, Charity. Continue.
And so just recently, I've kind of been a little loosey about...
Yeah.
What I show, I've kind of been a little more, especially around my girls.
Yeah.
I don't want my girls to ever feel any body shaming. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't ever want them to feel like any part of their body is something to be ashamed of. And so I want them to see me to be proud and accepting of who my body is.
That is why I am naked, like nearly a nudist around my girls, is because they're going to spend the rest of their life having what the female body should look like shoved down their throat. And I'm like, hey, girl, this is what it's really going to look like.
And then just show them, like, and I love who I am. And that's what they need to see.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, because Rocky's a boy and because he's older, I will give him the here come my boobs warning. And you've never seen a kid move so fast in your life. Because, I mean, I don't just get naked in the living room. I will come in my room and start undressing, and he'll be like hanging out in my bed, like playing on his iPod or something. And then I make that announcement. Now, my husband is nearly mortified by, I mean, like, and I don't walk around the house naked, but I walk around the house in a bra and underwear all the time. And even like his sisters come over to babysit a lot, and he was raised in a pretty modest family. And Aunt Patty, I will answer the door with no pants on.
Right.
Or like the other night, your sister Chris was babysitting, and she was telling me a story, and I was like, follow me. And so she followed me in our bedroom, and I just proceeded to change clothes right in front of her. And I hope that doesn't offend them.
I'm sure it doesn't offend them. No, you seem to have the same mentality that you had when you were a teenager getting right. dressed with your girlfriends. You've talked yes. about that before, as you have with my sisters. And
mm-hmm. well, pretty much anyone at our house.
Yeah, pretty much anyone.
I'm not
ever.
Wearing a bra now. So.
But here's the thing. You said how much it mortified you to yes. see your mom like that.
Yes.
Yet you are repeatedly putting your children through that same mortification. you're intentionally trying to mortify them.
That's because I want Lucy to get a breast reduction way earlier than I did. I carried around those knockers for way too long. Well,
you don't. She might take after, you know, after
me. Are you kidding? It's like I gave birth to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. She'll have the big boobs like I did. Now, do you guys pee with the door open at your house?
Okay, yeah.
I'm yeah. so glad you're going to admit that. Because in yes, our house, do you guys pee with the door open?
Mm-hmm, yeah. But see, wait, I got to ask something because Jimmy's yeah. walking away, but you made it seem like he was mortified about you and how you behave, and that's how my family is. They're like, shut the door when you're peeing.
Right.
Stop stripping naked when, right. you know, we're just like in the room playing Xbox.
Put clothes on when my friends are over.
Right. Well, I haven't gotten there yet, but that's where it's that's what's happening.
Oh, one of Rocky's friends walked in on me on the pot one time.
It doesn't matter who's over here. the bathroom door's open. Oh, no. When you're trying to be extra modest, you'll take the door, the cabinet door.
The cupboard door.
Under the sink. She can swing the door under the sink. She'll swing it open to like...
When I wipe and I say privacy and yeah. I open...
So the door's open, but the cabinet door is saying, don't look down here
the
from
the knees
down.
The cabinet door opens and covers my private part.
Right.
And so I'll... Like,
that's a special occasion. Right. If someone really important is at the house, we're going to open the cabinet door.
Listen, there's so many people getting ready in that bathroom in the mornings, and if I have to pee, there's no waiting.
Right, you can't so, like, shoo everybody out.
Rocky will be, like, doing his hair, and Lucy's brushing her teeth, and Libby Lou is getting dressed, and Jimmy's yelling at all them, and I have to pee, so I walk in and pee. And so, what?
But it's gotten to the point now, I mean, Lucy and Libby Lou, as you rub your face with your butt pad.
I'm sorry, they're really cold. Yeah. Lucy is taking after me. She is, like, she's nearly a nudist. Like, she will... take off her clothes in front of her brother, and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but she's gonna do that at her friend's house. She's gonna use the bathroom, keep the door open.
I know. No. All my friends peed with the door open. I can tell you, all of my girlfriends from high school could line up with their shirts off and put a bag on their head, and I could pick them out by their boobs. Because that's what girls do.
Okay, our 8-year-old girl does not need to pee at her friend's house with the door open.
Yeah, well, here's what happens. When you're a mom, if you lock the door, then they just open right. it. They yeah. bang on it. Like, how odd is it that, is there any other, like, stage of life or job that you could be sitting on the toilet doing your business and two kids barge in the door and they fight to get through the door at the same time? So they literally come spilling through the door to settle an argument.
And then you've got 10 fires to put out and you're just sitting on the toilet.
Trying to do is pee.
Well, I have a story.
Yes.
So I need to have your guys' advice.
Sure. Because
this has been, like... Have I scarred my children?
Oh.
So
I've definitely scarred mine, but yeah, go ahead.
So I'm in the back. Well, this is one of those things where, like, oh, I don't know if I should be completely naked. So my uh-huh. son is 4. He's almost okay. 5. And I'd gotten out of the shower, and, you know, the door was open.
Yeah.
I could put my robe on, but my robe was completely open. You know, I had yeah. underwear on, but I had not put a bra on.
Right.
And he turns on, and he goes, he sees me. He's just like, ooh, and his eyes got so big. He's like, reaches up, and he's like, I just want to touch them. So I'm like, in that split second, I was just like, okay, do I let him? Do I not? And so I'm like, okay, he's 4. So I'm like, okay,
sure,
touch him, you know, whatever. And he reaches up and tries to kiss each one of them. I'm like, okay, that's enough. That's enough.
I think
okay.
you just totally played into exactly. I mean, with my boys, mm-hmm. this is exactly the dilemma that I have, because before they were older, I had the idea in my head that, you know, the body is natural. It should be an okay thing for them to get used to seeing me walking
right,
around
right,
naked. It shouldn't
right.
be any big deal.
Right.
You know, maybe by making something less taboo, it makes it, you know, not as big of a thing for
right.
later on in life.
Right. Yeah.
But what you're explaining right now is exactly what I'm starting to kind of feel within my heart.
Yeah.
Which is that men are men from the very beginning.
They
from
are.
The beginning. From the very beginning, and I have no control over that. Right. And so impulses and urges and things like, not to say that I'm doing that to my kids, but what I'm exposing them to isn't going to make them less wanting of other things, you know, when we're talking about naked bodies.
No, right. Rocky walked up to my cousin Jamie, and this was a long, long time ago, so Rocky, if you're listening... Sorry. He was probably about 4 or 5. But we were at a Mexican restaurant in Granite City, and my cousin Jamie is just standing there along the window, and he just walks up with 2 hands and just grabs her by the boobs. And she's like, what are you doing? And he said, I just wanted to know what they felt like. And I'm like, well,
5 years old. That, they want to know.
That makes perfect sense. You know, because first of all, there's so many different ways we could cover this. Parenting is hard. Parenting is hard if you did it in the 1950s. Parenting is hard if you're doing it now. Parenting is hard if you have one kid. Parenting is hard if you have 10 kids.
Right.
Parenting is always going to be a very, very hard thing. Donna somehow thinks I'm some sort of authority on parenting, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I always come to you because I feel like you're 2 or 3 steps ahead of the game. We both have 3 kids.
Right.
We both have jobs that we've done that are similar.
Right.
We're both busy.
Right.
We're juggling things. But my gosh, she does it so easily and just seamlessly, and there's just... and you've brought me over to your house before and showed me your calendar and your systems and this and that.
Yes,
and,
yes,
and then,
yes.
And then what comes of it? Hilarious, funny stories, joyful kids.
Rap videos. Yeah.
You know, but I just don't understand, like, how you can stay so busy, juggle it all, and then kind of still, like, spark that joy, like, keep that happiness going.
Well, my kids are cooler than most adults, so I'd rather hang out with them than, like, most of my friends. I think it started, honestly, when... Like, I don't take anything serious in life, and that's almost like a problem. I think it started when Rocky was born. He was so sick. He had a stroke when he was 3 days old. They gave him a 50% chance of survival. And when you have a new baby that you don't even know if it's going to live, that is stress. Okay.
Right.
If you have too many soccer practices in 1 week, that is not stress.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. If you have too much fun stuff going on in your life, that is not stressful.
Right.
Stress is somebody telling you that your baby's going to die.
For sure.
And so Rocky kind of threw us like baptism by fire.
Yeah.
And so I think that from that point on, I really realized like none of this matters. And the only people that I'm ever going to have to answer my parenting to is my kids. Nobody else. So as long as what I'm doing is okay with them, then I don't care what anyone else has to say about it. I hate mommy wars.
Right.
I hate mommy judging. For example, do you vaccinate your kids?
I delay vaccination.
You delay vaccination. Donna, what do you do?
Right. I actually fully vaccinated my first son and then like tapered off with my second and then my third. Like third's kind of up in the air. We don't know what he's had and hasn't had.
That's my fourth. My fourth, we don't know.
Well, okay. So there's parents who don't vaccinate, and I did kind of the delayed thing too. Now, in my mind, I think they're kind of cuckoo, okay? But it doesn't matter.
No.
Because I'm not their kid.
And everybody
so I'm
makes
not gonna,
that choice
no,
for whatever
no.
reason.
It is not my job to judge them. I can think whatever I want in my own head, and it's coming out of my mouth because it's on a radio show, but I would never shame them as a parent and think that they are a bad parent for not vaccinating their kids, because they don't have to answer to me. They only have to answer to their own kids. So, you know, all of our kids are at an age now where they're going to start remembering the crap we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, so we got to watch it because, you know, and then the other thing that I've always said, and somebody else told me this and it really helped, was you parent the child you have, not the child you wanted. And so I have 3 kids with 3 very different personalities, and I parent all of them differently. Mm-hmm. I have spanked Rocky, not like a lay him over my leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like pick a switch. But yeah, like I have swatted him on the butt hard. I've drug him by the ear. Lucy, I just have to look at her and she'll dissolve into tears.
Oh.
I don't even have to raise a hand to her. And you know, Rocky, you know, you raise the child you have, not the child you want. Rocky likes to be funny, like especially in class and stuff like that. And he was in like first grade, and I got a note that Rocky had to sit out at recess because he kept talking about drinking beer in first grade. And Jimmy, like, I don't even drink. And so I asked Rocky, I said, what happened? He said, we were in class and we were talking about what are things you can do to relax? And I guess he had heard it on like a comedian, and he raised his hand and said, I drink a beer and watch NASCAR. And so that's why he got in trouble. And so I said, well, was it worth it? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, was it worth it to make all those kids laugh to sit out recess? And he's like, yeah, because they really thought I was funny. I'm like, well, cool then. You know, you didn't hurt anybody.
Right.
As long as you're not hurting anyone.
Family services didn't get called on.
No, no. I'm like, if you want, you parent the child you have, not the child you want. So if Rocky wants to be the funny kid who talks about beer, you know, that's up to his teachers to, you know, whip him into shape.
And I just have to say, I appreciate that. Like, I really do. Yeah. Because you're giving him the right to just be who he is and not.
Right.
Always just conform to what society says.
No.
Yeah, what his surroundings say he has to be.
No.
I appreciate that, like, that, as a parent.
That,
like,
is a fine line. I mean, I don't think that, I think that Charity would mm-hmm. probably agree with me that most parents struggle with that every day.
Oh,
because
right. I'm in the middle of it right now.
Children,
yeah.
we struggled with that. Like,
right.
we were being told those things. Mm-hmm. And so it's somewhat like in the back of our minds, like, this is how we parent.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, my rule with my kids is if they're not hurting themselves or anyone else, I don't really care what they do. Like, if they want to be funny, if they want to make armpit jokes, like the thing we do in our house is when the telemarketers call, our kids get to prank them. So every time it says toll free, the kids know they can pick
I
up the phone.
That.
Yeah.
yeah.
Have you ever been here
yes,
for it?
I know. I love it.
They've got
it's
like
so
a couple
funny.
Different bits they do. One is that it's a pizza place. And another is they all just rap, I like big butts and I cannot lie. Like, that kind of stuff is funny to me. I kind of feel like I'm faking this whole adult thing. You know, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, who in the hell trusted me with all these kids
right.
and a business and a mortgage?
So it's so fun. You make parenting so much fun for them too.
Well, and I guess, you know, a lot of it probably comes from my mom because she did kind of like the same thing with us. She was kind of like, she was the mom that would drive us to go teepeeing, you know, but she wouldn't let us go slash tires. You know,
right,
so as long
right.
as it's not hurting someone or hurting someone else, you know, anything goes in the Mano house. And you know what? I have happy kids. I have really happy, fun, outgoing kids. And there are some craphead kids out there. So as long as they keep, you know, not doing anything too bad. It is a fine.
Do you think sometimes they need to be more worried about you than you worried about them?
Yeah, sometimes yeah. Jimmy feels like he's raising like a fourth child.
Right.
He's like, get out of bed and quit eating cheesy poofs. so, yeah, no, I think as parents, we are all just doing the best job we can.
I agree.
And regardless of what you think of somebody else, as long as they're not hurting anyone else or themselves, you know, let
That's
kids be kids.
Way. That's a great way.
So we're going to be back in a minute. And we're going to throw down a freaking gauntlet.
A gauntlet?
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Because Donna and I happen to fancy ourselves as being experts on the television show Friends.
Yep.
We both watched them repeatedly in labor. And I know
before it was cool, like before it was like a Netflix thing.
Right.
I had the 10 discs.
The DVDs.
Yes,
yeah.
The DVD.
And now,
I watched when I was pregnant too.
Yep. Yep. Now Charity thinks that she can hold her own.
I don't know.
She's gonna
you
try. So
me.
This is just gonna be like a brag and rights game
okay.
to see who knows Friends trivia the most.
But I wanna win the butt pads.
Oh,
is that the prize? The butt pads?
Poor Charity is like, what is this
and
on
like, what
your
are
desk?
You playing with them?
They are here, feel one, catch.
They're really
soft.
Frisbee it over. I thought I should put it in my bra or something.
Put, like, well, it looks like chicken cutlets, doesn't it?
A flattened one.
I don't know what that really
is. All right, so we're going to be back in just a minute with Friends Trivia. We're going to wrap up the show. You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Baby, 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 uh-huh. can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, proudly brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City. Let's give it up for Granite City.
Yay!
Oh, my dog even barked
Mom
for him.
Loves it.
You know, I can actually see, you know, I can see how many people listen to the show. I can't see who listens to the show. So if you're stalking me out there, you're totally safe. Continue stalking. But I can see the geographic where people are listening, and Granite City all the way, first place every time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is that not like fun hometown pride? Hometown pride, JM Motors, Granite City, Illinois. I had to visit them about a month ago, and I got to hang out with the owner, Heather. The first thing that impressed me about JM Motors is the amount of cars they had in their parking lot. They could barely squeeze them in there. They specialize in pre-owned cars, but they had just as many as a big dealership. What you won't get at the big dealerships is the salesman chasing you down the runway of the aisle of the cars before you even get out of the car. Is that not miserable?
No, I hate so that. Annoying. Hate it.
They have two salesmen and two only, and they have been there for over 10 years. So, and the business itself, Jerry opened JM Motors 45 years ago. No one can match his service. He has a personal relationship with all of his customers. It is so important these days to support small business. So if you are in the market for a car, swing by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois. It's at 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, just 10 minutes from the Arch. They always have their most recent inventory of cars on Facebook. If you go to kellymano.com later today, you can see their fleet of cars. Just click on the JM Motors logo, and it will take you straight to their Facebook page. It's going down, girls. I'm going to dance fight you.
I want to see that, actually.
No, you don't. Not with the gas I've had today. All right. So when I knew that I was having Donna on the show as my co-host, I knew that we had to do a Friends trivia game because her and I are Friends junkies. And I asked Charity, I'm like, hey, do you know a little bit about Friends? And she's like, yeah. So I emailed producer Gary and I said, hey, have your wife come up with some trivia questions. And Gary's like, psh. I'm the Friends expert.
Right.
Oh, so we've got all Friends experts.
Right.
Right.
On. Now, Gary, just for the record, when I beat them in this game, I did not ask you to give, like, no hints, no nothing. I've not seen your paper, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, so how many questions do you have there?
I have 20 questions.
And how?
And one bonus question.
Oh, in case it's like a tie?
Well, there's one question where if the person who gives the correct answer can get an extra point for a bonus question.
Oh God, you gotta make it complicated.
It's like, yeah.
So how,
only one.
So how are we going to know, like, I don't have a buzzer. So how are we going to give you the answer?
Okay, each of you will shout out the name of your favorite female Friends character.
Okay, I'll take Phoebe. Yeah.
I got Monica.
Rachel.
Okay, so Donna is Monica.
Yep.
Charity
is Rachel,
and I am Phoebe. So if we know the answer, we yell out that person's name.
That is correct.
And you give us a nod so that you know who went first.
Yes.
Okay, and you're going to keep score?
Yes.
And what does the winner get?
Bragging rights.
Nothing.
Actually, we'll give them the butt implants.
No, I have to return those.
Yeah.
These were expensive.
Oh, well.
They've been in every Mano butt in the house, but they're going. So whoever buys these suckers next, get Mano Mojo. In their butt pads.
Mano Mojo.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
All right.
So, Scoot turns a little bit because I can almost see the paper, even though my eyes would never, ever be able to see that far. I just don't want to be accused of cheating whenever I whoop up on these ladies.
Come on.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you guys all know what to do.
Yep.
And if we know the answer before he ends the question, we can still yell it.
Yeah.
And, Gary, you're keeping score?
Yes.
How? Do you have paper?
I have pen, paper. I'm good.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. We will start with the softballs that I was asked to throw in there.
Yes. Well, I told you to make it a mix of easy, medium, and hard.
What was the name of the coffee shop?
Phoebe!
Monica. Oh.
I heard Donna first. Monica.
Central Perk.
Okay.
Easy, easy.
Oh, God.
All right. What name appears on the address label of Chandler and Joey's TV guide?
Phoebe. Chandler Bong.
I need a little bit more.
Monica. Oh, Mrs. Chandler Bong.
No.
Yes.
Ms. Chandler Bong.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
That is correct. Ms. Chandler Bong. Donna is correct.
I knew that was going to be one of the questions.
And yes.
I did not think of it today. I knew that was going to be one of them.
Number three.
What is Phoebe's twin sister's name?
Phoebe! Ursula.
Very good. Very good, Miss Kelly. All right. So Donna has two. Kelly has one.
Charity has zero.
Here, you want more of the microphone? There. Oh. There you go. Okay.
Okay. You can hear it in the background. Who sang the theme song?
Phoebe! The Rembrandts.
All right. All right, 2-2.
Ross's monkey's name was?
Phoebe! Marcel.
Okay. All right.
What band did Monica Chandler and Ross go to see for Ross's birthday?
Monica, Dave Matthews Band.
No!
That is incorrect.
Phoebe, Hootie the Blowfish.
That is correct. Okay, what was the name of Joey's character on Days of Our Lives?
Phoebe! Drake Ramore. Dr. Drake Ramore.
Okay, and you get the bonus question.
Okay.
How did Dr. Drake Ramore die?
Fell down an elevator shaft.
Very
good. Yeah, kiss it.
Wow.
All right. What Academy Award-winning actress had a guest turn on Friends as Susie Underpants?
Phoebe.
Okay.
Jessica Lange?
No.
Monica.
Okay.
Susan Sarandon.
No.
I think I know the answer. I'm not going to get the point, though.
No.
Okay, you tell us.
It's Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts?
Oh, remember yes, the episode when Chandler was in,
they
ended up in the bathroom?
Friends. They were childhood friends, and that was the whole big deal. Oh. She went back to, like, pay revenge on him.
All right, what number are we at?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're at number 9.
Okay.
Because I didn't go in order. I figured I'd make it
oh,
a little,
okay.
Yeah. What was the name of Joey's girlfriend that Chandler fell in love with?
Monica.
Nope.
No,
she had it.
I was going to say, that was me.
She had it.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
Wait. Read the question again because there was...
What was the name of Joey's girlfriend that Chandler fell in love with?
Oh my gosh.
3.
I know her name.
Two.
The actress's name is Paget Brewster.
1.
He's nodding because he knows I'm right.
Phoebe. Kathy.
That is correct. All right. Which of the friends hates Thanksgiving?
Monica. Chandler.
That's correct. What famous actor played Monica's boyfriend, Richard?
Monica. Tom Selleck.
Very good. All right. What is Ross Geller's middle name?
Monica. Muriel.
No.
Oh!
That is Chandler's middle name.
Oh,
I don't have it.
It's Eustace.
Oh, that doesn't even sound familiar. I thought I'd seen all the episodes.
Well, funny, we've been talking about butt implants. Yes. In a very memorable episode for the ladies, Joey is hired to be Al Pacino's what?
Phoebe! Butt double.
All right.
What is the surname of all 6 of the friends?
What does a surname mean?
The last names.
We don't understand your question.
What? All six last names.
Phoebe.
Okay.
Phoebe Buffay, mm-hmm. Chandler Bing, oh. Ross and Monica Geller, mm-hmm. Joey Tribbiani, mm-hmm. and Rachel Green.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
What legendary star played Chandler's father?
Monica.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Kathleen Turner.
Yes. Oh, I could not think of her name. I'm so nervous I'm kneading my butt pads.
I know.
Like with my hands. It's like a stress relief.
All right. Whose name appears first in the opening credits?
Charity, you could just guess.
I know. I totally could.
Because Donna and I obviously don't know.
No, I do know. I'm just thinking. Hold on. I know.
Phoebe.
Okay.
David Schwimmer.
No.
No. There's Matt LeBlanc. There's Jennifer Aniston. Monica, Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. Okay.
Because they go in alphabetical order.
They go in alphabetical order. Oh. The girls are all first, and then the guys. It is literally in alphabetical order.
Okay. Wait, okay. What's the score and how many are left?
Okay, we have 5 questions left.
I have how many?
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for Kelly. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Donna.
Here, Charity, do you want my butt pad?
I'm just here to like
squeeze the butt pad. It gives you good vibes.
Okay. Now we're getting into some of the good stuff.
Okay, I'm nervous.
What character has kissed all 5 other characters at some point during the series?
Phoebe. Monica.
No.
Rachel.
Okay.
Rachel.
Yes.
Ah,
excellent.
I guess it's
Charity on the board.
right. All right.
What was the name of the dentist that Rachel left at the altar?
Phoebe.
Okay.
Barry.
Very good. All right. Where did Phoebe's boyfriend, played by Hank Azaria, go off to do field work?
Monica. Minsk.
Very good.
No, I was going to say Yemen, but that's where Chandler went. Okay.
All right. Last question. Last question. What is the name of Ross and Rachel's daughter?
Phoebe. Emma.
Very good.
All right. I won, right?
Yeah.
I won, right? Yeah. You know what that, you know what that proves? That I sit on my butt and watch TV way longer than you guys.
Very true.
So, bragging rights. You know what I've always said is that one of these days for charity, I am going to put together an entire Friends trivia night.
That would be so
you know how
fun.
People do trivia nights?
Yes.
I'm going to do the whole thing Friends themed.
I would totally.
Trust me. And I'm going to tell you, I found so many good, just random Friends trivia questions. I mean, you could at least get 4 or 5 good rounds out of it for sure.
Oh yeah, easily. All right, so that was a lot of fun, Donna.
Yeah.
Thank you for co-hosting with me today. Now I know that we both are photographers, but you really kind of kick butt in newborn photography.
I love the newborn.
And you have a blog too. So what is that blog?
It's Donna Harris Blog.
No, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, DonnaHarrisBlog.com.
Charity, who bravely came on the show today and helped so many women and had fun at the same time. Remind people of what your blog is.
TheWoundedDove.com.
Awesome. And I bowed down to the stupid gods of Facebook and started a Kelly Mano business page because my husband made me. So go to Facebook, find the Kelly Mano show, click on it and like it. And I have an email address. Do you know what it is, Gary?
I believe it's Hey Kelly.
Hey Kelly.
At KellyMano.com.
Oh, you cheated. You looked at the paper. Yes, if you want to email me, the easiest way is HeyKelly@KellyMano.com. If you want to advertise with the show, if you have a question about the show, we might be getting 2 Kelly Mano shows next week.
What?
Nice.
Yes. Well, here's why. First of all, I've got 2 weddings next weekend, so I have to focus on those. But we may be doing a really personal show that I'm not even going to promote because I don't want to say it if it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And then the other show is I'm having in the wives of the NHL players, and we are going to talk hockey wife stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
right?
It's fun times.
Gary, you are not allowed to come. You will find them and stalk them.
Well, of course I will.
Well, if I let you come, will you behave? Well,
that's no fun.
Oh, God. All right. God bless them. So thank you for listening to The Kelly Mano Show. Find me on Facebook at The Kelly Mano Show. Email me at heykelly@kellymano.com or check out my blog, kellymano.com. I will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. You can do me when you want to do me.
The Kelly Mano Show.